And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. Today, we're going to be talking about the end of the melting pot. The end of America. The exact title of today's subject is The United States and Israel Organized Genocide in North Africa and the Middle East. Again, that is The United States and Israel Organize Genocide in North Africa and the Middle East. We will examine the refugees, the resettlement of millions from the Middle East because of widespread war, hunger, and death. We will also mention, of course, that these factors exist in South and Central America, and they will be exaggerated in future years. You will see revolutions, overthrows of governments, and death, hunger, and incredible resettlement of millions of refugees coming into the United States from El Salvador, Nicaragua, on into Argentina, Brazil, Venezuela, Colombia, and so forth. Because there is now a world war occurring. It is different than any world war you may have thought about. But we are seeing a refugee problem exactly as existed after World War II. That is one of the reasons World War II was fought, so that hundreds of millions of people would be displaced and they would be resettled wherever the Jewish elite decided. And now we have these wars, these horrors, caused by the United States, its Jewish elite, and of course the Jewish elite in Israel and the European community. They have organized genocide, death, and wars in North Africa and Libya and so forth, and the Middle East. And so we see refugees, destabilization of nations, conquest, and lies. And it's all according to plan. Why are we seeing now the incredible immigrant situation in the United States? There are more refugees coming to the United States calling themselves asylum seekers than there are illegal immigrants. The presidential candidates, of course, point to the hundreds of thousands, the millions that have come across the border from Mexico. And Donald Trump says, I'm going to build a great wall. But in fact, there are many millions that have come to the United States by other means, by cargo ship, by passenger ship, by airliner. They come, they see, they stay. And millions, believe it or not, have come as refugees. But these do not fit the category of the refugees that we think about. We think of refugees as poor, pitiful, miserable creatures driven out of their nation by floods, by hurricanes, or by war and violence, by persecution, etc. And we have great sympathy as Christians. We have great compassion for these people. As well we should for any immigrant who comes to the United States. We do not throw bricks at immigrants. We do not shoot the refugees. We love them. We want to care for them. But we simply cannot have the refugees overwhelm America. If they overwhelm America, then we will do them no good. It's similar to a man who prepares very well for a horrible, chaotic situation to occur. He prepares by having a clean water in his home. He prepares by having arms to protect himself, his wife, and children. He has dry food when the bad times come, perhaps to last him 3 months, 4 months, 6 months. And then the bad times come. And people find out about him and say, he's got a surplus. He's got dried food. He's got potable water. We have nothing. Let us go seize that water, that food. Let us go take his shelter. Let us go grab his guns. And thousands descend on this one house or one ranch or one small cabin. And they take from the man. They will even kill his wife and his children in order to survive themselves. And the man himself surely has compassion for these thousands of refugees that are storming his home, his prepared location, if you will. But he does them no good because they come in and they in a chaotic situation, they grab whatever he has and they take it and they kill anyone who tries to stop them. This is the kind of situation we will shortly encounter in America. Millions and millions of refugees, they're already here. And they're already causing havoc. They're putting millions of people out of jobs. And they're destroying our culture, our Christian way of life. Yes, we feel sorry for the hundreds of millions who are less fortunate than we. But you cannot help these unfortunate people by giving them what you have, especially if you have so little yourself collectively. For surely all the wealth of America could not feed, could not provide for the entire world. For that reason, we have laws. We have immigration laws. We have borders that are enforced. And still the millions of refugees say, I want what they have. Now, Christians cannot give more than a pittance to these people. God, of course, required of people in the days of Israel a tenth of what they had. Maybe we should give 20%, maybe 30%, but we have given much more than that, as I will prove very soon. We have given so much we cannot take any more from ourselves. You cannot help the poor by giving everything you have. You can help some of the poor, but you will find yourself in a desperate situation if you do so. Now, what does it mean to say the United States and Israel are organizing genocide in North Africa and the Middle East? Let me explain it to you, my friends. It's all found actually in the book we offer entitled Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion. There we find a plan that has been worked for over 100 years now, a plan that has been worked by the Jews. Not just all of the Jews, but the influential moneyed Jews, and particularly the Rothschilds and the other bankers of this world. And what do the Jews want? They want to control us. They want a Jewish utopia, meaning a dystopia for the rest of us, a nightmarish world. How can they bring down America? We're the strongest country in the world. We're the only superpower. How can they bring us down? They have long dwelled on this fact. What are we going to do to bring America down? They brought Germany down. The Jews did that. The Jews brought Russia down with their communist revolution. They brought Red China down. They have proven their ability to take down entire nations, even though themselves are a minority inside those nations. They make up only 2% of Americans, for example. They make up in the whole world no more than 15 or 16, as many as maybe 18 million, the demographers say. Yet, in a conference a few years ago, Prime Minister Mahathir of Malaysia shocked the delegates from around the world at a financial conference in Asia when he said to the group, when he was a speaker, Prime Minister Mahathir said, the Jews rule the world by proxy. They take certain nations like the United States and Germany, and with our great power, our economic might, they rule the world. Why do you think the ancient kings had bodyguards? They knew there was opposition. They had bodyguards. They had armies. Why do you think that every celebrity in the United States who says we need gun control, we need to get rid of all the guns, themselves, the celebrities, have plenty of guns, and they have bodyguards? Try to break into the mansion of one of the Hollywood stars, and you'll find out very quick they have alarms and guards, and the police will respond very fast. Because they don't believe what they say. They want you to take away your guns, but they're going to keep their guns, their guards, their little private armies. Now, what we see going on in the world today is incredible turmoil and chaos. We should not look at the illegal immigrants as just a species of people that are coming across the border, but we should look at this as a worldwide problem. Now, how could this become a worldwide problem unless we had worldwide chaos? Well, we have worldwide chaos, and it stems from North Africa, meaning essentially Libya and those countries, Egypt and so forth, Ethiopia, in North Africa, countries that the United States has conquered and destroyed the governments of. Either we've destroyed the governments of these countries in North Africa, and I'll get to the Middle East in just a moment, or we've put in power our puppets, and the people have no rights, no freedoms, and the people have caused revolution. I'm talking about countries like Somalia, Ethiopia, Eritrea, the Sudan, and the Darfur in the Sudan. Of course, Libya has no government at all. Egypt has a government. It's run by a crony of the United States, and they've taken away all the rights of the people. And so the people continue to demonstrate, to protest, to march, to be killed. And Egypt will do whatever we tell it to do. Of course, all of the Arabs will do whatever we tell them to do. Saudi Arabia will attack its neighbor, Yemen, and kill thousands of Yemenis. How do they get away with it? Well, we let them. We encourage them. Turkey invades Iraq and Syria and kills the Kurds. How do they get away with it? Well, they're our friends. We put them up to it. We tell them to do it. Jordan invites thousands and thousands of Al-Qaeda and ISIS troops in, and they train them there. How does Jordan get away with it? Well, we give them billions of dollars. That's how. The king of Jordan is under control of the United States of America, and we run the terrorist training camps. We are the terrorists. It's sort of like the old cartoon character, Pogo. Pogo. We have seen the enemy, and he is us, said Pogo. We have seen the enemy, and he is us. Now, good American patriots don't want to accept this. We don't want to accept that we are the world's biggest terrorist organization and that Israel tells us what to do. The Jews control our political groupings. We don't want to admit that a little nation like Israel with its Jews and its money controls us. No, that can't be so. We have a constitution. Oh, do we? The Jews wanted same-sex marriage. They got it. They wanted abortion. They got it. They want to control Hollywood. They own it. They want to control the publishing, the book industry. It's theirs. They want to control the Ivy League colleges and now the huge state universities like the Ohio State University and University of Texas and University of California. They do. They control them all. And they put in their liberal professors. And they put in their communist professors. And the conservatives go there and they tell them to shut up. Be politically correct. You can't even use words like male and female. But where we really see the control of Israel is grasping onto the United States and thrusting us into the Middle East and causing us to destroy the nations of the Middle East. Iraq, Syria, all these nations are being destroyed by United States firepower and air power. Folks, I know what I'm talking about. I spent 20 years in the Air Force. I earned my degree in political science, summa cum laude, by the way. These are the kind of things that I studied. I taught World War III to officer candidates. We discussed World War III, how it would be fought. I even had a block on terrorism. This was many years ago. Terrorism. I said there's institutional terrorism by the governments, and then there's the independents. Non-governmental terrorism. But the worst of all is the terrorism by governments. And we foster, we sponsor, we set up terrorist groups from 9/11 to whatever. We have false flags everywhere, all around the world. In the communist era, we caused terrorist incidents everywhere, in airplanes. We hijacked dozens. Not only that, but we blew up restaurants. We killed people. Operation Gladio in Europe. We even killed prime ministers, premiers in countries. Olaf Palme in Sweden. Down in Italy, we killed prime ministers. That's what the United States does. We're a big terrorist bully, and we control the world through terrorism. That's what Putin keeps telling his people. He knows it. And we tell him, watch out, or we're going to come for you too, buddy. And he's very careful today to watch what he says. Because we've already taken the Ukraine from him. We're going to take a lot more countries from him, we think. By the way, the largest gas company in the Ukraine is run by two Americans. Now, don't you get that? The largest gas company, say equal to ExxonMobil here in the United States. The largest gas company in Ukraine, that's a country desperate for fuel. They've been buying all of their fuel, their gas from Russia. And now Russia says pay up and they can't pay anymore. But America comes and says, you stay on our side, Ukraine, and Israel too, of course. Israel and the United States, Israel put their own man, Poroshenko, in as prime minister. And they ran out of the country, the man that had been elected. Yanukovych. But what did Poroshenko say? We need gas, United States. We're going to freeze to death next winter. Don't worry, we have plenty of gas. We're the world's number one producer of gas, natural gas and oil. We are too. We're number one in the world. You don't need it from Russia. Take it from us. Be our ally. Ukraine said, okay. Run by Israel, of course. Israel sent in renegades, snipers, and they shot people and took over the government. Now, the Ukraine gas company, who owns that? Who runs that? Who's going to be who's going to be buying gasoline from the United States or natural gas? Thousands, thousands, thousands of cubic feet. The son of Joe Biden runs the company. And the son of John Kerry. The sons of John Kerry and Joe Biden, Senator John Kerry, skull and bones, Senator Joe Biden, Vice President of the United States, their sons run the Ukrainian gas company. Who runs the whole nation of Ukraine? It's an American rabbi. Now, think of that. An American rabbi is in the Ukraine running there. You have to do whatever the rabbi tells you to do in the country. It's a Jewish-run country, Ukraine. They took it over. Well, enough of that. That's what we do. The head of the gas company, Joe Biden's son and John Kerry's son, they can't even speak Ukrainian. They don't know anything about it, but they're getting all that money. Money, 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 money. And the press doesn't even report that. Tex Mars investigates, determines it's true. I reported in my newsletter. It's not picked up by the Associated Press or anybody. They're frightened. They can't say a word. Now, there was a plan created far back, beginning about 1990. This plan was escalated during the Clinton administration. This plan came into full fruition in the George Herbert Walker Bush, his administration, the Clinton administration. And, of course, during the years of Barack Obama. The presidents can do nothing but abide by the plan as given them by the Jewish oligarchs. They must go along with the plan. There's a plan for a greater Israel, an Israel to expand out of its borders. That's the reason for the two stripes on the flag. One of them takes you all the way to the Euphrates River in Baghdad. They say, we're going to own that someday in Iraq, down to the great river there, the Nile, in Egypt. They'll own that too. But first, they've got to take care of all those nations, all those northern African nations. They've got to take care of nations like Somalia, like the Sudan, like Ethiopia, like Libya. They've got to destroy their governments and cause destabilization. And the people are desperate. They get hungry. They don't know what to do. They don't have any government. They only have terrorists running around killing whoever they wish. They have horrible, chaotic situations there. And they become migrants and refugees, do they not? That's what's happening in Europe now. Hundreds of thousands, millions coming across in little boats and sea vessels, doing whatever they can, clamoring. They're going to Hungary, they're going to Greece, they're going to Germany, they're wherever they can get across. All of these people from North Africa, from Libya, from Syria, from Iraq, they're all desperate. They're being butchered, they're being killed. By who? By terrorist groups. Well, who tells these terrorist groups to do this? The United States does. Forget about any caliphate. We could go in. We took Iraq one time. What'd it take us? A couple of weeks? That's all, a couple of weeks. Actually, we took it twice. We took Kuwait, drove them out. Then we came in, took all of Iraq. And they hadn't done anything to us. Saddam Hussein didn't do one thing to us. But we hung him by the neck.
Well, he did 9-1-1.
You're a dummy. You don't even know who did 9-1-1. It was 19 Arabs, 17 of which came from, supposedly, Saudi Arabia. But they didn't really do it either. Don't get our book, 9-11, The Truth About 9-11, The 9-11 Evil by Victor Thorne. Get that book, you'll find out just who did it. The United States did it, 9-11, and Israel assisted, and Saudi Arabia a little bit on the side, and the Pakistanis a little bit. Well, why would we bomb ourselves? What do you think? We killed 2,000 people in New York. 2,000 people. But what did that do to the rest of the people? They're frightened. They're fearful. They'll do anything to stop terrorism. We've got to stop the terrorists. We've got to stop the Muslims. We've got to go to the Middle East. If we don't go there, they're going to come here. They've already been here. They hijacked our planes. They blew up part of the Pentagon itself. What a symbolic mission that is. And they blew up our World Trade Center. Did they not? Didn't the Muslims do it in the Middle East? Didn't they come over here and do it? Of course they did. Lie, lie. Of course they did. And now we've got to go back and go to them. Or pretty soon they'll be having ICBMs, intercontinental ballistic missiles. And they'll be shipping those nuclear bombs. Oh, yes, they're developing nuclear bombs everywhere in the Middle East. And the caliphate is going to be a horrible nation. And Iran, and they're going to bomb us all back to the Neanderthal age. That's what you're being told. You remember Condoleezza Rice? The mushroom clouds are going to come in our cities. We got to go over there and take Saddam Hussein. What did that? Saddam Hussein never did anything. He protected the Christian churches. He protected Christians in Iraq. But now there's no protection for them. And they're being murdered. Who? By the terrorists. Who are the terrorists? The United States. Oh, well, now, we don't have troops there anymore. Well, only about 3,000. It's not us, isn't it? Mayor Lansky, head of the mafia in the 50s and 60s, he didn't kill anybody himself. He just gave orders for hitmen to do it. No, the head of the mafia, they don't do anything themselves. They give orders. They put out the money. They arrange the hits. That's what America does. That's what Israel does. Israel doesn't put itself at risk. They pay for the others. That's why the United States and Israel has training camps in Israel. And training camps in Jordan. And training camps in Iraq. And in the Arab countries. Why? so we can send all these terrorists in. We're training the terrorists, sending them into Iraq, sending them into Syria. Syria has been marked. It's only got about half its country left. Assad, he's going to go. What did he ever do to America? Nothing. But what did he do to Israel? He didn't kiss them. He didn't kiss their feet. So Assad's got to go. He's their enemy. Just like Saddam Hussein. He didn't kiss their feet. He's got to go. The head of Yemen, he didn't kiss their feet. He's got to go. The Ayatollahs of Iran, they didn't kiss Israelis' feet. They got to go. And America is the one going over there, giving them the money, giving them the training, providing the infrastructure. We provide the skeleton and they put all the flesh on it. Do you remember those convoys you saw? Here they come, the horrible ISIS warriors. Oh, what are they all riding in? Oh, my, they're riding in Toyotas. Toyota, little Toyota pickups. There must have been a bargain on Toyota that time. The Toyota Motor Company must have made about $1 billion in the United States. We bought all those Toyotas. We put them there. Don't think for a minute that the ISIS warriors bought their own Toyotas. Well, how could they fight with Toyotas? Put a man with a gun on the back. How could they fight with tanks and all that? They couldn't. But we told them there will be no tanks. You're going to be allowed to roam everywhere you go to take over the territory. Well, the Kurds said, you're not going to take our territory. We're up in northern Iraq. You're not going to take us. So they started fighting them. So then we got Turkey to go in. Now Turkey's killing the Kurds. We're not going to allow anybody to stop our terrorists. They're our terrorists. They may be terrorists, but they're our terrorists, friends. Listen to me, friends. I'm telling you, this is true history. It's revisionist history. It's history like you won't read in the textbooks, but they're all by liars. They go to C-SPAN. They tell you all about Abe Lincoln and what happened in JFK and what happened in World War II. They're a bunch of liars. You want to know real history. And real history is what's going on right now. And real history is, yes, Hillary Clinton, who, when asked, what about Gaddafi, the head of Libya? Why did we overthrow him? She said, we came, we saw, he died. Ha, 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 ha. Let me repeat that again. When Hillary was asked, why did we go into Libya? Why did they take a pipe and stick it up the rectum of Gaddafi as he begged for mercy? Why did the terrorists, it's on YouTube, they take a pipe and drive it up him? He begged for mercy. They gave him none. Why did we do that with Gaddafi? She stated, Hillary Clinton, Secretary of State, said, we came, we saw, he died. Now, I'm going to take a short break now. When I come back, I'm going to tell you why this immigration crisis is going on in America. Why are these millions from North Africa, from the Middle East, they're fleeing those countries. They're running away. They have to. We're making them run. We want the world to be destabilized. We want chaos in America. We want the end of the Constitution. We want a new people for America, not the old people, not you and me. We believe in George Washington, Thomas Jefferson. We believe in God and country. They don't want that. They want a new nation made up of a new people, a people that will give the Jews all the control, all the power, a new people that won't care about the Constitution. That's what they're getting in America. All these foreigners come in. They don't care about anything but making money. They want to live. They don't want to die. They don't want to starve to death. They want a better life for themselves. And the Illuminati's taking advantage of it, saying, come on in. We don't have any borders. We're not going to send you back. Come on over. You immigrant, you refugee. Come on, come on. More, more, more. I'll be right back after this brief message. Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion. You know, a lot of people are amazed that we have been brave enough, bold enough, to publish this 1905 book. It came out of Russia, first came out of France, in fact, the Grand Lodge, it was where it was found, the Grand Lodge of the Masons in France, an atheist group. Sergius Nilus, a prophet, a Christian man, published it first in his book in Russia. When the communists came to power, they punished him. They said, this man has done so much damage to the state of Russia, the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics. They put him in prison for publishing Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion. And people have told me, you will end up in prison, Tex Mars, for publishing this book. It is the classic on international Zionism. We have documents in it by Henry Ford and by other patriots verifying its authenticity. Did you hear what I just said? It is real. It is genuine. It is authentic. Of course, the Jews of this world have done their best to stop it. There's no major publisher that will publish this. Go find one. There are hundreds of publishers, all run by the Jews in New York, Simon & Schuster, Doubleday, Harper & Row, all of them. None of them would publish this book, but we did. And we've sold thousands of copies because people are hungry for the truth. They're hungry. We give them the truth. And the Jews are frantic. They're angry. But they haven't put me in jail yet. They may someday if God wills it. But if God doesn't will it, they're not going to do anything to me. This is a blueprint by a moneyed and privileged elite. The world's most powerful men and women have this blueprint to subjugate the whole world. Who do they need? What nation do you think they need most of all if they're going to subjugate the whole world? They need the United States of America. If they don't have the USA, they have nothing. That's why their CIA, their secret agents, work desperately in the United States. That's why they stole our atomic bomb. That's why they paid off presidents like Truman and others. That's why their agents at the Washington Post and New York Times and the others, they threw out Vice President Spiro Agnew and Richard Nixon. Of course they did. And they control Obama today. He's the Jewish president. Oh, you thought he was just the gay president. That's just his extracurricular activity. Now, when the Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion first came out in 1905, people said it's a hoax. It's not real. It can't be. But read the language, you'll discover for yourself it is real. And then, only 12 years after it was published, by this little old Russian saint, this prophet, Sergius Nilus, he warned in the book, the Antichrist is at hand. The Antichrist is here. Woe to the Russian people. It's going to start here in Russia. Listen to me, he said, please, said this monk. But the Russian people, they were too busy. They had got involved in World War I. Their czar, their king, was too busy. They overthrew him. The communists, Lenin, Trotsky, and the others, they murdered him. They murdered his whole family. Massacred him. And then they began to massacre family after family after family after family until finally, according to Alexander Solzhenitsyn, the great conscience of the 20th century, they had murdered 66 million in the Soviet Union alone, in Russia alone. And then they went over into China and Mao Zedong, a communist who had learned from Marx and Lenin, he took over that great nation, and they are reputed to have murdered 50 million. Some people say 100 million. But when you're talking about 50 or 100 million, what does another million or so? What impact does that have? Could just as well be 50, 60, 80, 90 million. It's all the same, isn't it? Or is it? Now we have 320 million Americans. How many? How many will die? Because they're going to establish this here in America. But they've got to change America. They've got to transform it. How do they achieve the transformation of America? By making America a new nation, a new country, with a new people, a new government. We have had marriage in this country for, well, since 1776, 1787, 1791. Those are the three dates in American history. One was the Declaration of Independence. Another is the Constitution. Another's the date that America began as a nation. We've had marriage. And there's not one word about marriage in the Constitution of the United States. Why? Because they said that's up to the states. The 10th Amendment says anything that is not enumerated specifically in this Constitution or this Bill of Rights will be in the power of the hands of the people and of the states. They control marriage. The states do, and the people. But 5 members out of 9, a 5-4 decision, a couple of months ago, the Supreme Court said, to hell with the people, to hell with the states. We say there will be same-sex marriage. The Constitution said nothing about it for over 200 years, and then they pulled it up out of thin air and said it. And it's law, they say. One person, one majority. That's all it took, 5-4 decision, one person. Who gave that person such authority? No one. The Bill of Rights gives it to the states and the people, but they grabbed it, they seized it. Obamacare. Who gave us Obamacare? Well, that would be another 5-4 decision of the Supreme Court. Well, who did that? Well, it was John Roberts. He was the deciding vote, 5-4. Well, who put him in? Well, who made him a Supreme Court judge? Well, that would be George W. Bush. Mm-hmm. Do you see what we have? You have no Republicans. You have no Democrats. You have only a Jewish-led money party. Polls show that 70 to 80% of the American people want something done about immigration. But the one party, the moneyed party, the Jewish party, said, no, we will not give you immigration. Not like you want. We're going to open up the borders. We're going to bring refugees in. We're going to bring immigrants in. And you don't call them illegal immigrants. You don't call them illegal aliens. They're undocumented persons. That's what was told to me. A Republican said to me, you must be an Attila the Hun. You used the term illegal alien. How dare you? He called me Attila the Hun. Well, I'm an Attila the Hun because I still use that term, illegal alien. Illegal alien. Illegal alien. Well, you've got to have this book. You've got to have this book. Protocols of the Learned Elder's Design for $20. Please add $5 shipping and handling. $25. You'll have the book that has the master plan for the whole world. We've only got a few freedoms left in America, but we've got enough to publish this book. We still publish this book. We still sell this book. They may bulldoze our ministry out of existence. They may kill me and all the people who work here. But for now, you've got this book. $25. Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion. I write the foreword for it. It shows you how bold I am. Some people say dumb. Well, okay, whatever they say. Bold or dumb, I wrote the foreword. Read my foreword. See what you think. If I'm dumb, then write me and tell me. If I'm bold, then write and encourage me. $25. Here's how to get your book. Call us toll-free, 1-800-234-9673. 1-800-234-9673. You can write to us at Power of Prophecy. Send us a check for $25. Say, send me the Protocols book. We'll know what you mean. $25. Send it to Power of Prophecy, 1708, that's 1708, Patterson Road, Patterson Road, Austin, Texas. We like to say Republic of Texas, 78733, 78733. Now you can go to our website, powerofprophecy.com or textmars.com. Now let's return to our regular program. We're talking about the immigration problem. We're talking about the refugee problem. We're talking about the chaotic world situation. We're talking about tens of thousands of immigrants, of refugees, flooding Europe. Many of them dying in little vessels, little boats that capsize in the Atlantic Ocean and in the sea there. Now, let's talk about, we're in a situation where, did you know the top name of new babies born in Britain? You know what the top name is? Used to be Michael. Used to be David. It's Mohammed. The top name of babies in Britain chosen today is Mohammed. In America, there are now imams. There are mosques in every city. I didn't even see one until I was 50 years old. I think I saw my first mosque. I said, what is that? Somebody said, that's a Muslim mosque. What's it doing in America? Well, there it is. They're everywhere now, though. Everywhere. Where do the refugees come? I want you to understand something. A refugee is different than an illegal immigrant or even an immigrant. Now, according to our law, it was only passed in 1980, because America has compassion. America wants to help these poor refugees. And basically, there are three ways a person can become a refugee. Through war and violence in their home country. If they're having a revolution, if people are dying, they lose their home, they have to flee their country, then they can come to the United States. They can go anywhere. I mean, they can find solace. They can find a home anywhere in the world. They become a refugee. Fear of persecution. If a person fears for their life or their family's life because, let's say, they're a Christian and the people there or the government is of another religion, maybe Muslim or Buddhist or whatever, if they fear persecution as legitimate fear, that's another reason for qualifying as a refugee. Or it could be a natural disaster. If their whole region or their town has been wiped out by a hurricane or by tornadoes or floods, that's a natural disaster. Then they come to the United States, perhaps. But we can't accept all the refugees in the world, can we? I mean, there's 195 countries in the United Nations. 195 countries. Does Israel accept any? Oh, no. Unless you're a Jew, you can't go there. Unless you're a Jew, you can't go there. Did you hear what I said? They're a prejudiced people. Unless you're a Jew, you can't go there. How about these millions of Iraqis? We made 5 million Iraqis homeless. Talking about the homeless. 5 million out of 30 million homeless. There were 1 million Christians out of those people in the days of Saddam Hussein. Now there's only about, they say, 10,000 Christians. Where did all the rest of them go? They're either dead or they're fleeing for their lives. Where are they going to? They're trying to come to the United States. But you know what? Our Refugee Act doesn't allow us to have Christians in here. We don't want Christians. The Obama administration says no to Christian refugees. We're bringing in the Muslims. We're bringing in. Last year we brought in over 1 million. They say there's 3 million. We brought them in. You know, I first found out about refugees, and I realized it wasn't anything to do with the migrants or the illegal aliens. You know why? Back in 2001, there was a murderer. His name, let's see, I've got it here. Last name was Soltis. Soltis. Now, Mr. Soltis, let's just call him that, in Sacramento, California, Nikolai Soltis. He killed 6 people in his own family. Just killed them. Come to find out he was a Ukrainian. Okay, so he was a Ukrainian refugee. He had fled the Ukraine. Then I found out that in Sacramento alone, there were 80,000 Ukrainian immigrants. How can that be? How can one city have 80,000 Ukrainians from one country? We brought them in. The United States brought them in. Now, let me get this straight to you. The United States is going around the world hand in hand with the United Nations, and we are grabbing thousands of people. We're telling them all, we want you to have a new life in America. And guess what? The three factors I've told you about to be a refugee, that you're a victim of persecution or fear of persecution, there's a natural disaster in your home country, or there's war and violence. That's what we're supposed to help people with. We now take in 70% of all the refugees in the world in the United States. 70% of all of them are coming to America. And we're recruiting them. We have recruiters. You want to be a recruiter? Go to the State Department, apply. Work at Homeland Security. Be a recruiter of refugees. And they're charter airplaning them in. We went down to Somalia. We had fleets of charter aircraft that cost millions of dollars. Our chartered aircraft. And we loaded them up with Somalians, and we brought them to the United States. Muslims. You say, Tex, you're kidding me. Oh, yeah. 15,000 Somalians went to Minneapolis, Minnesota. They're outside the city there. They're put in a community. 80,000 Ukrainians out of Sacramento. And there are cities in America that have been chosen for the infusion of refugees. Now, this is not illegal aliens. They are recruited. They're given their green cards. They're recruited in their home country. Let me read you some of the countries where they come from. They come from Jordan, Thailand, Nepal, Malaysia, Rwanda, Liberia, Sudan, Congo, Somalia, Afghanistan, Vietnam, Cuba. Yes, Cuba. Serbia, Montenegro, Ethiopia, Eritrea, Colombia, Guatemala, Burundi, Iraq, Libya, Georgia, Ukraine, Sierra Leone, and others. We go there with our recruiters from the State Department, hand in hand with the United Nations recruiters, and we set up little desks, little tables, and we invite all the people in the village, come on, come on. You want to go to the United States? Come on. You're a terrorist? That's okay. We're not going to stop you. You're a criminal? They have now found out that up to 20% of the refugees are criminals, murderers, rapists, thieves. But they can go down and say, I want to go to the United States. I want you mean you're letting anybody in? That's right. Come on. Get on the air. There's 10 airplanes waiting. We'll charter them all. Go on. Get on there. Get what little belongings you have. Don't worry about clothing. We're going to buy you new clothing when you get to America. Don't worry about a house. We're going to give you a house or a condo. Don't worry about food. We're going to feed you. Don't worry about money. We're going to give you free money for many, many months. Food, housing, free services, employment, medical. We're going to give you all your medical needs. Utilities. You got it. Transportation when you get there. That's right. A refugee cash assistance for 8 months.
But the problem is I've got tuberculosis. I'm sick.
That's okay. Get on the plane.
Well, I've got HIV AIDS. Well, then you're just right for us. We need you. Come on.
That's why a refugee from Togo, a little country in Africa, was in the United States only 9 days before he raped a woman. In April of this year, six young Somali men from refugee families in Minnesota were arrested and charged with repeatedly trying to board planes, air flights to Turkey. They planned to cross the border and join ISIS in Syria. They were so stupid they didn't know that the United States sponsors ISIS. They thought they were going to fight against for ISIS. They were arrested. Did you know that the number one terrorist in the world, wanted right now by the FBI, who do you think? Most wanted terrorist. He's a Somalian refugee. He's a cab driver in Virginia. He's a recruiter for ISIS. When they found out that, he fled. He's somewhere in the United States now. He's the FBI's most wanted terrorist, a Somali refugee. He's not an immigrant now. He's not an illegal. He was brought in the United States. He's paid to be in the United States. These people are in their communities. They don't even work. And there's thousands of, do you know, try to get a cab, try to get a taxi in New York. All you could get up to now was Russians, Russian refugees. How does one become a Russian refugee? Well, they just go down, sign up to the U.S. Embassy, and the next thing they know, they're on an airplane coming to the United States. They can't speak a word of English. The only job they can get is a taxi. But how can they take you places? They can't even understand what you're saying. They don't even know the map. Well, that's why it's hell to get around in New York City, believe me. I've been there. You can't get around. You mean anybody could be a refugee? That would mean millions could come to the United States. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Now the United States has admitted there are 11 or 12 million illegal immigrants in the United States. Oh, we keep hearing that. 11 or 12 million. How is Trump going to send all those people back? Well, he's going to obey the law, he says. I'm going to send them back. Oh, 11, 12 million people, you're going to do that? Now, the government says there are 3 million refugees in America. They don't count those. They don't count those people. When they come to the United States, they don't send them all to one place. They don't go to the border. They don't go to these places where the immigrants go. They go right to the city where they're going to stay. And they're now, I want you to understand something. Who's going to help resettle them? Who's going to help get them into place? Who's going to sign them up for all these goodies, the welfare goodies and such? The churches. The traitorous churches. Oh, I know they think they're doing good, but they don't know the big plan. The Catholic Church, the Lutheran, these are the formal churches. I'm telling you right now, the ones getting the most money from they're getting money from the government. The Catholic Church, the Lutheran Church, the Episcopal Church, a group called Church World Service, which is a liberal charity, so-called, and the Southern Baptists get $300 million a year to quote-unquote resettle immigrants. Why? The man who is the chief lawyer at Liberty University, Matt Staver, he's now in independent practice, but Matt Staver was asked about this, about the United States
government giving the Southern Baptist Convention $300 million to resettle refugees. He said, we've got to take in immigrants. We can't deport anybody. Why? It's in the Bible. The Bible requires us to take refugees and illegal immigrants. Huh? I don't know where that's in the Bible. Maybe Matt Staver, he's such a famous attorney with Liberty University, their chief lawyer. They got a law school there, you know, I suppose. Maybe Matt Staver can show me where that's said in the Bible. Maybe you can show me where it says that illegal immigrants cannot be deported, that refugees must be allowed in. Can you show it to me in the Bible? Now, I know we're supposed to help the orphans and the widows and those things. That has nothing to do with this. But the Baptists say that we've got to help these people. We've got to take them in. You know, I would tend to think, if I were a suspicious mind, that it might be that $300 million the Southern Baptists are given every year. $300 million, baskets of money, in order to be an official agent of the U.S. government. I mean, all of these together get over $1 billion a year, the Catholics, the Lutherans, the Episcopals, the Baptists. Now, who approves all these people? Obama. He picks the number. Nobody in the world except one man, Barack Obama, the President of the United States, he's the guy who decides how many refugees we're going to get this year. Can you believe it? Can you believe millions of refugees, and 70% of them are coming to America this year? 500,000 to 800,000 are going to Germany. And the German people are fighting mad. They're hopping mad. They're angry. But their pro-Jewish kiss-up, Angela Merkel, is telling them, too bad. You're going to have to accept it. The elite don't do what we say. Friends, I have discovered that there is a secret document in Homeland Security. There's a secret document that names 193 communities throughout America. 193. They won't even tell you the names of the communities. But I know some of them. You just heard Sacramento. You've just heard Minneapolis. There's also Atlanta, and there are others in Florida and many others. 193 they've chosen. And they're slated. There's an airplane coming in tomorrow. Send it into Atlanta. There's 5 airplanes chartered from Somalia. Yeah, send that to Fargo. Send this one to Idaho. Send this one to Washington State. Send that one to Philadelphia. Now, listen to me just a minute. There was a meeting in Kansas City. Kansas City is one of the places getting all these refugees too. The mayor there is a man named Sly James. Believe me, that's his name. Sly James. The Kansas City mayor spoke at a group called La Raza. That means the race in Spanish. They're a group that want to bring in all, they're going to close all the borders down and bring in all these Mexican aliens. He went and spoke to them. The mayor of Kansas City, and he bragged to them. What did he brag? We're no longer a white city. Isn't that great? He says, we're no longer a white city in Kansas City. He said in the year 2010, we were 52% white. In the year 2015, we're only 40% white. We've gone down from 52 to 40% in just 5 years. He said, not only are we not a white city, our students now speak, get this, 62 different languages. Get that? They've come from all over the world, these refugees. They don't even count the number, but Obama does. He knows the number. According to the Refugee Act of 1980, only the president can pick out how many. And only he knows it. Are there 20 million? Are there 30 million? They say there's 3 million. They say there's 11 or 12 million illegal immigrants. 3 million refugees in America. But wait, the Center for Immigration Studies, an independent group, studied this, and they found there's 42.1 million immigrants in the United States. Over 42 million! 42 million! Now, they don't even know how many refugees there are. There may be 5, 10, 20, 30... 40 million refugees, and they're killing people everywhere. You hear about it all the time. This kill this, this rape this woman, this man kill this one, this one. They're everywhere. Angela Davis, remember her in the 60s? The black gal with big afro, the communist. She now is a professor at the University of California. How'd they make her a professor, communist? She said refugee resettlement is going to be, quote, the movement of the 21st century. This is it, folks. This is the big one. This is how they're going to change the world. They're going to transform the United States into another country, into a new country. People don't care about George Washington. They don't care about Thomas Jefferson. They don't care about anything. They don't care about the Civil War heroes. They don't worry about Southern heritage or Northern heritage. They don't care about Jefferson Davis or Abraham Lincoln. Why, they're from Burundi. They're from Jordan. They're from Nepal. They're from Afghanistan. They're refugees all over the United States. This is the movement of the 21st century, said Angela Davis. And she's a paid agent of the government. She's going out there arranging this stuff. She said the new password for the 21st century is asylum. All you do is go into the country illegally or get with one of these workers and say, I want asylum. Oh, okay. You got it. Remember the five DHS buses, the Department of Homeland Security buses that were stopped in California by patriots? And there was a lot of, you know, very tense moments. Five buses full of illegal aliens. What were they doing? Five buses. They charter buses. They bring them up from El Salvador, Nicaragua, and all those countries down there, Panama. And they bus these illegal refugees into the United States. They were taking them somewhere in California. We don't even know where. They're not migrants. They're refugees. They bypass the immigration system, so they're not counted among the immigrants. It's the movement of the 21st century, refugee resettlement. It's the end of America. In Philadelphia, the school district this September, just a month ago, said we have registered 800 students that speak 40 languages from 70 different countries. In just Philadelphia, they have 800 students speaking 40 languages from 70 different countries. The Washington Post, how easy is it to get in? Well, the Washington Post had an article and said that black people in America, black citizens, could qualify as refugees because America is a dangerous country for blacks who face persecution due to race. Yeah, the black people can all qualify as refugees. Well, they're already getting welfare goodies from the government. Senator Durbin, Senator Amy Klobuchar from Minnesota and Durbin from Illinois say Obama needs to bring in more from the Middle East. More of them. We even have an Office of Refugee Resettlement in the Department of State. I guess Hillary was the one that brought in millions of these illegals. We have compassion. We care for them. We want to take in some, but we can't take in more than there are of us. I believe they have decided they're going to bring in over 100 million. The Center for Immigration Studies says there are already 42 million. They're going to bring in over 100 million, but not in Israel, in the United States, and in Europe. They're going to change the United States. They're going to change Europe. It won't be the same. 15 or 20 years from now, you'll be a minority. You don't even talk about your constitutional rights. Don't even talk about your right to own a gun or to speak freely. Don't talk about it. They're going to be gone. They're going to find new rights. They're going to find new ways to give welfare to all these people. And they're going to take money from you. You're the privileged class. You won't be the privileged class anymore. You'll be the poor. And they give it to these other people until everybody has nothing. Get that? They take from the 1%, from the 2%. Maybe those of us who used to be a majority, and they distribute our money around through taxes until nobody really has anything except them, the Jews. It's the end of America. It's the United States and Israel organizing genocide in the Middle East so that those people will flee. That's the reason for the genocide, and then Israel can take all of their lands. Have you ever wondered why ISIS has not attacked Israel? They're right next door. What if they just go over and take Israel? Israel is training them. We're giving money to Israel. They're giving money to the terrorists. They have taken the Middle East. They've destabilized it. They've conquered it. And now their refugees are coming to America, to Europe. And they're all lying about it. It's according to plan. I'm Tex Mars, dear friends. You've been listening to Power of Prophecy. I invite you to tune in each week during the same time and discover the power of prophecy.